You're listening to A Prisity by Millie Wilcox, Chapter 25, Overwhelmed. Suddenly the house was silent. Stephanie could hear the hum of the refrigerator. She always had so much to do, but she couldn't seem to think of a single thing that needed to be done right now. She petered around the kitchen for a moment, wiping the counters that were already clean. Finally, she gave up trying to find something particularly useful to do and went to take a shower. She curled her hair and put on makeup. It wasn't fancy, but she rarely wore makeup, so she felt dolled up. She thought about wearing a dress. She put one on and remembered when she wore it out to a fancy dinner with Jason, so she took it off. Instead, she put her favorite jeans and t-shirt on. She sat down at her computer and started to listen to her physics lecture, but after a moment she stopped it. There was something she needed to do, something that she had been putting off. She got up and walked over to the bed, where she knelt down and began to pray. She had meant everything she said to Charlotte the day before about knowing she should be with Chris, but she had not yet prayed for the confirmation. It came very strong, and afterwards she had to get up and fix her tear-streaked makeup. It wasn't long after that that the kids came clamoring into the house. Stephanie walked into the living room. The kids all had ice cream cones and were laughing and chatting excitedly, except for Matthew, who was sleeping in Chris's arms with ice cream all down the front of his shirt. Charlotte had Amara on her hip. Caleb kept chattering, and then Emery would shush him loudly before Stephanie could hear what he had said.
Wow, Mom, you look hot!
Levi shouted.
Levi, you can't tell your mom that she looks hot.
Charlotte chided.
Why not?
He responded.
You do look hot.
Chris said quietly as he passed the sticky, sleeping Matthew to her and kissed Stephanie on the cheek. She turned her head to kiss his lips, but he walked away into the kitchen.
Okay, where are my sous chefs?
While Chris and the kids cooked dinner, Stephanie gave Matthew a bath. It was more to wake him up rather than because he was covered in ice cream. When she came out of the bathroom with a clean, awake Matthew, Stephanie was met with the delicious smell of garlic and butter. She put Matthew down and he went to play in the living room. Stephanie walked into the kitchen where Chris was bustling around. Emery was grating a block of Parmesan cheese. Charlotte was setting the table and Caden was washing vegetables. Trey had come home and Chris must have convinced him to help too because he was stirring something on the stove. Stephanie walked up behind Chris and put her hand on his shoulder. He looked at her.
Hopefully this isn't a disaster,
he commented.
I have not cooked much of anything besides chicken nuggets for the last several months.
I'm sure it will be great, Stephanie smiled.
Where's a good knife for cutting vegetables?
Chris asked. Stephanie opened a drawer that had a child latch on it and pulled out a large knife. Chris carefully took it from her.
Where's a...
He started to ask, but Stephanie pulled a cutting board out of the cupboard and handed it to him.
Thanks,
he said. Stephanie watched as he began to cut red bell peppers into thin slices.
Do you have a knife sharpener?
Chris asked. No, Stephanie said plainly. Chris looked annoyed. He continued to slice the peppers.
You know, a sharp knife is actually safer than a dull knife,
he muttered.
Yeah, because a dull knife will make you so frustrated you'll want to stab someone,
Trey agreed. Chris laughed.
Exactly.
Stephanie rolled her eyes at them. Do you want me to slice them? She asked.
No, you're not allowed to help.
What am I supposed to do?
That's not my problem.
Stephanie huffed and walked into the living room. She sat down on the couch and pulled up social media on her phone. She had not been on for a while. She typed Chris Taylor in the search box. A few options popped up. None of the profile pictures were of him, so she clicked on the one that didn't have a profile picture. She knew right away it was Chris's profile. He did not have very many posts, but the top one was a link to Katie's GoFundMe. It had their family picture on it that Chris had shown her at the aquarium. The next post had a picture of Max that had been shared to a community page.
This sweet 7-year-old Aussie German Shepherd is looking for a new home. My wife has been diagnosed with leukemia, and we can no longer keep him. He is gentle and well-trained, no cost. Just want him to go to a good home. DM if you're interested.
Stephanie clicked on the comments.
I'm sorry to hear about your wife, Chris.
Wish we could take him.
Your dog is beautiful.
The last one was a comment from a man named James Riley.
Thank you, Chris. We will take good care of Max for you. He is a good dog.
There was a picture of Max sitting on a front porch. Stephanie clicked on James's profile. She thought for a moment, and then she clicked on the message icon to send him a message. Hi, you don't know me, but I'm friends of Chris Taylor. You adopted his dog Max a while back. I was just wondering if you would be willing to let us visit Max sometime. Chris walked into the room. Stephanie hurried and turned off her screen.
Dinner's ready,
he said happily. Chris had made garlic parmesan gnocchi, stuffed chicken, and sautéed vegetables. It was phenomenal. Everyone ate really well, even Caleb. Chris ended up sitting at one end of the table, and Stephanie was at the other. That way they were able to help all the kids more easily. As dinner was winding down, Chris said to Caleb, who was sitting next to him,
Caleb, what's that in your ear?
Stephanie looked over, annoyed, wondering what he had put in his ear this time. But Chris magically pulled a quarter out of Caleb's ear and handed it to him.
Do me, Dad,
Caden shouted.
Pull a quarter out of my ear.
So Chris pulled a magic quarter out of Caden's ear and handed it to him.
My turn,
Emery shouted.
My turn,
Matthew shouted. Chris stood up so he could walk around the table, and Emery and Matthew each got magic quarters. Then Levi got one. Next, it was Amara's turn. He handed the quarter to her, and she picked it up and put it in her mouth.
Oh, shoot,
Chris said as he fished the quarter out of Amara's mouth and wiped the slobber off on his jeans. Charlotte rolled her eyes as Chris pulled a quarter from her ear. Trey snatched the quarter from its hiding place in Chris's hand before he could pull it from his ear. Last, Chris walked around the table to where Stephanie sat. You're a dork, she laughed, as he pulled one out of her ear. He held his palm out to show it to her. It was not a quarter. It was a simple engagement ring with a silver band and a modest-sized diamond on it. Stephanie playfully glared at him. I knew you were up to something. He glanced down at the floor. It looked like he was looking to see if it was clean before he knelt down on one knee and held the ring out to her.
Stephanie,
he said. He paused, looking a little flustered. You don't know my middle name, Stephanie giggled.
Shoot,
he said. But Charlotte quickly shouted,
Caroline!
Stephanie Caroline Wren.
Johnson Wren,
Charlotte corrected. Chris laughed and then took a deep breath and tried again.
Stephanie Caroline Johnson Wren.
His face went somber.
Will you please marry me?
Stephanie cried and laughed at the same time. You're a dork, she giggled. Yes, I will marry you. You already knew that. Chris stood up and then leaned over so he could kiss her where she sat on her chair. The kids all cheered. Chris had forgotten he still had the ring in his hand. He handed it to her.
Okay, so Charlotte picked out the ring, but if you don't like it, you can pick a different one.
She took it from him and examined it before slipping it onto her finger. It fit perfectly.
We may have borrowed your other ring to get your size, but I swear we put it back.
Stephanie was a little embarrassed because her other ring had been in her underwear drawer.
Right, Charlotte? You put the other ring back?
Chris confirmed. Charlotte nodded. Chris picked up Matthew, who was sitting on the chair next to Stephanie. He sat in Matthew's chair, holding him on his lap, and pulled out his phone.
You could go with Levi's choice.
He showed her a picture on his phone of a ring with a huge diamond on it.
Although, we may have to remortgage the house if you do.
Stephanie laughed.
Or Emery's choice.
He showed her an elaborate ring with leaf-shaped emeralds and a flower made of tiny rubies and sapphires. Very pretty, Stephanie commented.
Or Matthew's choice.
He showed her a picture of a pearl necklace.
It was his second choice, since they didn't have a Paw Patrol one.
Very nice, Stephanie chuckled.
And Caleb's choice.
It was a pair of diamond earrings. Pretty, but since I don't have pierced ears, I probably should pass on that one, Stephanie said.
And here is Caden's choice.
It had a medium-sized diamond with two smaller diamonds on either side.
It looks almost identical to Katie's ring,
Chris said quietly. These are all lovely choices, but I really do like this one. You chose well, Charlotte. Charlotte beamed. How much was it? Stephanie asked Chris.
It wasn't very much. If you want a more expensive one, we can exchange it.
I once heard this thing, Stephanie said. There are two kinds of women in this world. If you buy a $20 gift, then the first one will be happier if you add a zero to the price tag, and the second one will be happier if you erase a zero. Which one do you think I am? Chris smiled nervously.
I think I know the answer, but I'm worried this is a trick question.
I'm the second one, Stephanie informed him.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, but I thought it might be disastrous if I was wrong.
The kids all helped clean up after dinner. Charlotte put Amara to bed while Stephanie loaded the dishwasher and Chris wiped the table and counters. Stephanie finished up the dishes and started the dishwasher. The sink was halfway full of mucky water. She flipped the switch on the garbage disposal. All of a sudden, her socks were all wet. She looked down. Water was gushing out from the cabinet under the sink. She flipped off the switch to the disposal and turned off the tap. "Crap!" she shouted. She tossed the hand towel on the mess. It was tiny compared to the gallons of water that were pouring onto the floor. Chris stood up and looked at the mess helplessly. The kitchen floor was now completely flooded. Stephanie ran to get more towels. She dodged down the stairs into the laundry room. There was water pouring into the laundry room from the ceiling. It was landing half onto the floor and half into a basket of clean clothes. "Oh, crap!" she exclaimed. She kicked the basket of laundry away from the pouring water, and then she thought better and pulled it under the dripping water to catch it. She grabbed the stack of bath towels and dashed up the stairs. Chris was cleaning up the water, a little bit at a time, by mopping it with the hand towel and wringing it into the sink, until he realized it was just pouring back onto the floor from the drain. His pants were all soaked from his knees down as he kept kneeling in the mess. Stephanie handed him a large towel, and between the two of them, they mopped up the mess. Stephanie pulled everything out from under the kitchen sink and cleaned up the water that had collected underneath. Chris just stood there awkwardly watching her. She was embarrassed that under the sink was filled with all kinds of randomness and trash, and she began throwing things away. When she was done, she carried the mess of dripping wet towels down to the laundry room, put them in the washer, and started the load. She came back upstairs to find Chris on his hands and knees under the sink.
"Your drain came disconnected,"
he announced. "You think?" Stephanie replied sardonically.
"It probably got knocked."
Chris climbed under the sink and laid on his back while he put the drain back together. When he was done, he climbed back out of the cupboard.
"That may have been my fault,"
he admitted sheepishly.
"I may have bumped it when I was unplugging the dishwasher the other day."
"Why didn't it come off until now?" Stephanie wondered out loud. Chris shrugged.
"Maybe just was loosening a little bit at a time until the final straw just now."
"Either way, I'm sure glad you were here to help clean it up then." Stephanie made her voice lower to mimic Chris. "Oh, don't call someone to fix it. I just ordered the pump."
"Hey, it could have happened to anyone,"
he said defensively. He turned and washed his hands. Stephanie nervously watched to see if the water would pour out of the cabinet again. When she was satisfied that the drain was working, she washed her hands too. Matthew went over to Chris and smacked him on the leg with a book.
"Wee, please,"
he whined. So Chris sat down and read to the kids. After that, Stephanie had the kids start getting ready for bed. Then she led them in scriptures. As they knelt for prayer, Stephanie looked around. The room was full to the brim, and so was her heart. There were 9 people looking back at her, not counting Amara, who was already asleep. She looked at Chris. "You want to ask someone to pray?" she said. He looked surprised.
Oh, yeah. "How about Levi? Will you pray?"
So Levi said the prayer. He said,
"Thank you, the mom said yes, even though Chris is a dork, and now he could be a part of our family."
The kids all giggled. Stephanie tried hard not to laugh. "Kay, run to your beds," Stephanie said when the prayer was over. Caden joined them in running down the hall. Stephanie looked at Chris. He was smiling. "What's the plan?" she asked. His smile faded.
"Well, I think I'm actually homeless now, so..."
He furrowed his brow, but he didn't look nearly as stressed as he did that morning. Stephanie guessed that being kicked out of Jody and Mark's, while painful, was actually a huge relief. "You can't stay here," she pointed a finger at him.
"I know,"
he said defensively.
"I wasn't going to ask."
"So do your kids live here now?" Stephanie questioned. He let out a long, disgruntled, "What do you want?" Stephanie asked.
"What I want is to live with my kids in a happy and emotionally safe environment. Ha!"
He rubbed his beard.
"Since I can't have what I want right now..."
He looked her in the eyes. "They can live here," she answered his unasked question. "So what are you going to do?"
"I'll probably just go crash at my mom's and come back in the morning,"
he answered. Caleb ran in.
"Mom, come sing to us,"
he said. "Okay, I'm coming. Go get in bed," Stephanie replied. "You coming?" she asked Chris. So Stephanie and Chris went together to sing bedtime songs to Levi, Emery, Caden, Caleb, and Matthew. Chris sang along this time. Stephanie was surprised. He knew most of the words. As they sang, Chris put his arm around Stephanie. When it was Matthew's turn, he chose Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. Every time they sang the word sunbeam, he popped up out of his bed.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. In every way try to please him. At home, at school, at play.
Chris couldn't help laughing, so Matthew would do it bigger and more exaggerated the next time. This is counterproductive, Stephanie said, suppressing a laugh.
A sunbeam, beam. A sunbeam, beam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam for him.
After they were done, they walked back out to the living room. Stephanie had a flashback. Bedtime had always been so hectic at her house, and after the kids went to bed, it was usually when she and Jason would finally sit down and talk about the day. Even though it hurt, this time Stephanie did not push the memories away. She sat down on the couch and played the images in her head of Jason sitting in his work shirt, lounging on the couch next to her.
So?
Chris spoke, pulling her out of the daydream as he sat down where Jason had been sitting in her mind. Huh, she said, still a little dazed.
We haven't talked yet about when we are going to get married,
he said.
And where?
Stephanie blinked at him.
You okay?
He asked. Yeah, Stephanie suddenly remembered the wet laundry. Oh, I need to change the laundry. Just a sec. I'll be right back. She jumped up and hurried downstairs to the laundry room. She moved the wet towels to the dryer and turned it on. Then she loaded the wet clothes from the hamper on the floor into the washer and started it. She stood dazed, staring at the washing machine. The hum of the dryer and the sound of the rushing water was hypnotizing, and she stood there longer than she had meant to. She wasn't really even thinking about anything. Her mind was just empty.
Hey.
Chris spoke from the doorway. She looked up from her trance. Chris had his hands in his pockets and was looking a little nervous. He walked over to her and trepidatiously put his arm around her lower back. She tensed up, so he quickly moved away and put his hands back in his pocket. Stephanie backed up and leaned against the washing machine. She could feel the warm steam coming up from the lid on her back.
Are you...
Chris began nervously.
Are you having second thoughts?
He asked. No, Stephanie said plainly. I think I'm just overwhelmed. Chris nodded. After a moment of silence, Stephanie spoke suddenly. When did you know we were going to get married? Chris smiled and hesitated, like he was embarrassed to say.
When I saw you sitting on the park bench, looking up at the sun.
Stephanie interrupted him. Oh man, I was such a mess. I was wearing sweatpants, hadn't even done my hair. How embarrassing. She rubbed her face.
You were gorgeous.
He took a little step towards her.
And I got this feeling, I can't explain it, that Amara walked right over to you like she knew something. When I saw you weren't wearing a ring,
he shrugged,
I just knew.
Stephanie smirked at him, trying to decide if she believed him.
What about you?
He asked. Oh gosh, she said, looking at the floor. I don't really know. I think it came on gradually for me. She looked up at him, and he took a little step towards her. Stephanie asked, have you prayed about it? Chris nodded.
I prayed about it right after I talked to the department head. There hasn't been any question about it in my mind since then. What about you?
Oh, Stephanie was embarrassed. Chris had thought to pray about it the first day they started dating, and she didn't even pray until this afternoon. I've been putting it off. I guess I wasn't sure if I was emotionally ready for the answer. But, she added quickly, I prayed this afternoon, when you left with the kids. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've known for a while, but... Stephanie trailed off. Chris waited. Stephanie took a big breath and continued. Katie was there. Chris scowled at her. In the room, when I prayed, I could feel her. Stephanie squinted. I don't know if Jason was there. She huffed in frustration. Then she continued. She was looking to the side rather than at Chris's face. But Katie was definitely there. She told me this is what she wanted. That it was okay. The feeling was very strong that this is what we are supposed to do. She looked at Chris. He was looking at her intensely. He took another little step towards her. "Sorry it took me so long to pray about it," Stephanie apologized. Chris shook his head as if to say, "Don't worry about it." He took a little step towards her again. He was only a few inches from her. Stephanie's back was up against the washing machine.
"I should go,"
he whispered. Stephanie nodded. They stood frozen for a moment. Then Chris turned and left.